So, meditation puts us into that position where we have a little bit of a conflict, because on one hand, we obviously try to divert from the normal mind state that we have, our normal constant proliferation of the mind, one thought chasing the next one, going into the past, into the future, worrying about something, wanting something, being angry about something, being uncomfortable with something. So, if you have ever paid any attention to what's going on in your mind, you see that there's a lot of activity the whole time. So, in meditation, we try to calm this thought process down. We're trying to stay with our mind here in that room, with the experiences we're gonna have in that very moment by moment by moment by moment. And there will still be thoughts coming up, because that is the nature of the mind. That is just how it works. You will find out, the new meditators, that even if you give your mind that instruction, oh, we're meditating here today for half an hour, so be quiet for half an hour, mind, it's not going to listen to you. There's going to be thought activity going on. You will be surprised. Sometimes the mind can be even quite rebellious, that you tell it something, now it's time to meditate, and then you seem to have the greatest ideas you ever had in your life, actually, and they all want to come up in that moment. So this is a little bit of a goal there, to instruct the mind. Now is not the time for thoughts. Now is the time to be here in the present moment. But on the other hand, we also don't want to put any pressure on our minds, because it's not a control factor that we try to develop. We don't try to get a higher sort of authority in our mind that is going to be more powerful and is going to force the thoughts down. Knows exactly, now is the time to stop thinking, and is suppressing everything for the time whenever you wish it. That is also not how it works. You're just going to get very, very negative, going to be a control freak. I see it's not leading you to any more happiness, stillness, relaxedness. So the deal is that you try to encourage your mind in the most positive manner that you are capable of. Be as gentle, kind, full of goodwill towards your mind when you instruct it. And be as patient, kind, and full of goodwill during the process of your meditation, even if the mind starts thinking a lot again. Because the most important part of the exercise is not really how calm you're gonna get. The most important part of the exercise is if you manage to have a positive attitude for that half an hour, for whatever is going on with you. If you manage that, then you have achieved a lot. So if it's getting calmer, the feeling in your body, the feeling of well-being should go up. That is generally an indicator that you are on the right path. If you get more tense, if you feel you get negative, you get restless, your body starts aching more than usual, then it's, look exactly, what are you doing? What am I holding on to? What am I trying to achieve here in that moment? Am I kind enough? Am I dealing with this mind in a beautiful way? Do I want to be treated like that? And make very, very sure that you put a lot of effort into making that something as beautiful as you can. And if it doesn't feel beautiful, make sure that you're aware that it's not your fault. You tried your very best. But it's the nature of the mind, it's that it's going to be restless. Huh? There's wanting and not wanting there. And if we feel our body more, that is what's going to happen. We're going to pay attention to our body. Because that is how we put the attention away from the thought process. We get more aware of the body. And that can be a little bit uncomfortable. Because the body is not a comfortable thing. Body is always itching and hurting, and something is always not right. It's never really comfortable in that thing. And you will get aware of that. Please try to be patient with that feeling. Try to have a relaxed attitude towards it. If it should happen to you that you just feel too uncomfortable in your body for half an hour sitting here, please get up quietly and walk up and down outside here on the outside floor. If you really are in pain, don't sit with your pain. Be nice to yourself. Go outside and walk mindfully up and down. So don't force yourself. From the very beginning, as the beginners here in your in our meditation group, and as the ones who've meditated for a while, the mind has to recognize meditation as something beautiful. If it doesn't do that after a while, you don't want to continue, and you have missed the point. It should get into a region where it's getting more comfortable and comfortable and comfortable. And that is completely dependent on how we manage to get our attitude right to the present moment. So please don't pay so much attention to, oh, I'm still thinking, I shouldn't think now. Pay attention to, am I as kind and as patient as I can be? And so the rest I'm just going to guide you step by step now when we start the meditation. Are there any more questions before we get going? No? Very well then.
Can you keep your volume up?
I try. Okay. If anybody cannot hear me, please don't hesitate to lift your hand or say something. Sometimes I just go down with my volume and I don't realize it. Yes, please. So first thing, please make yourself as comfortable on that chair as you can. Sort of, there has to be a certain distance from your bottom to the backrest of the chair, and from the distance how your feet are spread on the ground to make it comfortable. Please put effort into that from the very beginning now. Don't miss that step. Important is that we, however you're going to sit, if you have the experience after a while, you know in that position I'm not going to harm this body. Body can sit in that position, maybe with a little bit of discomfort, but there is definitely not going to be any harm coming to that body during that period. So now, if you in general have the feeling you're sitting comfortable, we start with our feet, and we go from the feet upwards through the body, trying to relax that part by part and being aware of it. Please try to focus your attention now on your feet. Relax your toes. See if your knees stand in an angle that is comfortable towards the ground. And if you want, you can always tense it up one time. Tense your feet up if you don't know, if you're not completely certain if your feet are relaxed. You can breathe in, tense up a little bit, and then when you breathe out, you relax. And then the difference between tensing up and relaxing actually makes the mind often more aware, actually, oh, that is the relaxation point. So I hope your hips are sitting in a good position, that your back has a certain angle, that it, if you take a deep in-breath now, it should feel easy. There shouldn't be any restrictions in front of your belly. The belly has to be able to move outwards when you breathe in. So I hope you're not wearing very tight trousers or anything, that area is restricted. And if it's completely permissible to open the top button of your trousers, now please leave them on. So we go up towards our shoulders. Try to tension up your shoulders for a short moment while you breathe in. Tense, tense, tense. Breathe out and completely let go. I should really drop down all the heaviness, the burden. We just drop that down now. You can do that again if you. Every out-breath, put your attention on relaxing your shoulders. And trying to do that, you have to see that your hands are in a comfortable position on your lap as well. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If they're too far in the front, they're going to drag your shoulders down. If you try to have them too close to your body, often you tensen up in the opposite way, that the shoulders lift up. So that distance is determined as well by the relaxation of your shoulders. Now, how comfortable that is going to be in our meditation period. And we still move up a little bit higher to our mouth. And you please check now, is your mouth completely relaxed? If you're not sure, give a short smile and then drop the smile. Now we're going up to our eyes. They're just gently, gently closed, like when you go to sleep. Sure, there's no pressure, there's no tension trying to squeeze. Anything holding around your eyes? And the last thing we go, we check our foreheads. Well, that is usually the area that is tense when we're thinking extensively. So we try to relax that very consciously as well now. And with that together we let go of the thoughts concerning the past. Everything that is not happening right now, right here, is of no concern. It's this beautiful opportunity that allows us to just drop the heaviness of the past for this half an hour. And everything that is concerned with the future, what is going to happen in a minute, or what is going to happen in 50 minutes, or tonight, or tomorrow. For this half an hour is completely irrelevant. We can just say, mind, I allow you to be completely with these people in this room here. I just feel what it's like. Completely feel what is going on without judging, without interfering, just with an interested and positive attitude, like a scientist watching an experiment. What is happening if I stop doing stuff? How do things move on without my interfering? And if all of you are more connected to your body now and you feel your body more, good. From that point of your body, the mind can go wherever it wants to. Wherever the sensation is the strongest. If it's sound, if it's some feeling inside of your body, you don't have to direct where the attention is going. Please just be a kind, interested observer of where this attention is shifting constantly. And if you have the feeling that the mind likes to rest somewhere, the breath is always a very convenient and sort of beautiful place to rest, because it's completely automatic as well, and it gives us this, because it's still moving in a constant pattern. It has this reassuringness to it. With every in and out breath, we can still be more aware of the body, still relax the body more. Still increase that concept of non-interfering, of non-doing, non-proliferating. Just kind observing. And if there's a little bit of doing, that's completely all right. But you don't have to. you sit nice and straight, your body is just going to stay in that position. Nobody has to do anything anymore. Just watch. Whatever is coming up, pleasant or unpleasant, can always give it some kindness, some interest. Everything is welcome. See if you can manage to be that kind, and even if it's not completely comfortable, that you can make it feel welcome. Completely alright if there's still a little bit of effort there into putting this kind attention to whatever is going on. And if you're kind enough for a long enough period of time, then you can be so kind that the kindness can even drop. And then it's basically just complete trust, this positive trust in the present moment, and all the effort is getting less and less, all the burden getting less and less. Just completely accepting the present, whatever it may be. also know there's only about 5 minutes left in our meditation. 5 minutes where we can enjoy not having to do anything. Not having to think, not having to manipulate, consider, judge. And I'm your little reminder now, if you started thinking or not again. Maybe if your mind realizes now it's only this 5 minutes left. 5 minutes. What a short period of time. Isn't that a beautiful opportunity? Just 5 minutes, not having to be concerned about anything, figuring out anything. Completely being here with our meditator friends in the room. And doesn't that feel beautiful? ring the bell 3 times, and after the 3rd ring, please open your eyes and we end the meditation session for tonight. So, just generally, are there any questions in the box that I have to answer later?
No questions.
Okay. Just for timing purposes. So, just as a reminder of the and as something new for the new people here, it's the meditation is one factor in a path that we call the Eightfold Path. So a lot of things have to come together to get our meditation right. Yeah? So for people who have never heard of the Eightfold Path, I'm not going to go into that tonight. They have to come back to another talk. But if things don't work out the way you like it, the reason is that there's still things missing, and there's still too much of other stuff. But that doesn't mean we can only meditate if all the other things are completely right already. The meditation that we did tonight hopefully makes us a little bit more aware that that mind we're dealing with, which we call ourselves, these feelings and thoughts and perceptions, they are not under this control that we think it is. We associate ourselves usually so much with our thoughts. So the first thing we learn is, wow, I can say thoughts, please be quiet for 30 minutes, and there are thoughts coming up in my mind. Who is doing the thinking? We say they are my thoughts. What do we associate with my? It's my car, so I can drive it whenever I want. I can even drive it against a tree if I want to. I can lend it to anybody I want. We say my when we assume control and ownership over something. That's when we say my. We say my thoughts, and we tell the thoughts, okay thoughts, now you have this great opportunity for 30 minutes to completely shut up, and there are thoughts in the mind. Interesting, isn't it? Am I schizophrenic? who is doing the thinking. So that's the first thing to know. Thoughts is a conditioned process. Yeah? Thoughts are going to come up on their own volition. Yeah? Doesn't mean they are somebody else's thoughts, obviously. Yeah? But it's not this control, this ownership that we think we have over things. It's just not there. Yeah? It's an illusion. Yeah? So never blame yourself when negative thoughts come up. Because you never decided if these thoughts come up or not. These thoughts come up exactly under these causes and conditions that you lived under for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, however old you are. Little bit of your parents, little bit of your siblings, little bit of your friends, little bit of the television programs you watched, a little bit of the religious upbringing in the country you're coming from. Yeah? So that conglomeration of factors coming together, that's what we call my thoughts, my individuality. Nobody ever decided. The same as you decided that I decided to be born in Germany and you decided to be born in Australia. The same we decide that I'm going to become this person or that person. I'm going to be a nice person. I'm going to be an angry person. I'm going to be a loved person. It's not a decision. All this is always a factor of conditions. So first of all, don't believe anything I tell you tonight. And I really mean that, to protect myself, and you have to learn to protect yourself as well. So never just believe anything somebody tells you. And that doesn't, only because I have a rope on and a bolt head, doesn't make me an authority on anything. So if anything I say causes you more distress than it causes you relief, then be very sure you misunderstood me. Because I am just sure of my intention here. And that is trying to remind myself and you what is the way of the mind to go in a happier direction and what is the way of the mind to go in a more unhappy direction. So if you find anything, if you pick on anything that I say and it doesn't agree with you, you will still have some time at the end. Please mention what, if there's anything that distresses you, if I tell you that, or that interests you, or whatever. But please don't forget, it's not my intention, it has something to do with your perception, and if you believe me, that's your own fault anyway. So it's not about believing in anything, it's basically I give you a blueprint of something you can try to watch in your own mind. And if you find that helpful, good. And if you don't find that helpful, good as well. So the part of the blueprint is the realization that this ownership we grant is something we have to investigate further. We see in our meditation that control we assume is not there. It's not my thoughts. It's basically, sure, in a way it's my thoughts, and it's stupid to call it anything else when you talk to somebody. But we also take it with a pinch of salt. That we see it's a conditioned thing. It's not a decision. It's not some superpower that sits behind that and is pulling all the levers in your brain. It's just going on, if you want it or not. And that is the same with your feelings. You never decide actually, oh, today I'm going to be happy. Happy, 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 happy. Well, today I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be completely miserable today. I mean, nobody probably decides that, wants to decide that anyway. Actually, would be an interesting experiment, actually. If you feel normal in the morning, actually, you decide that day, actually, oh, today I'm going to be completely miserable. Hmm. Well, let's try that. And you see, no, it's not basically... No, thank you. So part of dealing with the whole thing for me is always to put interest and put a little bit of humor in it. Don't take it too serious. Oh, they're not my thoughts. Oh my gosh.
Hmm.
Who is thinking? It's basically sort of, if you think negative thoughts, take that responsibility and see, oh wow, that is conditioned stuff. It doesn't feel good. If I act according to negative thoughts, it can be unwholesome and negative for me and other people, but it's not that control and intent behind it that we often assume. So the same is for your feelings, for the feelings that come up. Often something distresses us, and that is still happening to me every day in the monastery. There are personalities that irritate me. And that is just part of my condition. I would love to be the perfect and kind and whatnot monk, but I'm not. I'm just not. There's still things that get under my skin every day. I'm living with people I would never decide in a sober mind to live with. It's just the way it is. If you live in a big community, there will always be a few people who rub against you. You know that in your jobs and wherever you have to deal with people. And so, but the question first is, for me, is always I take the blame away. It's not the decision I make that I'm not the perfect guy. It's also the question I have to ask myself: how kind do I want to be? When does the point arise in my mind where I feel like a footmat? That you have people walking over you? Where do I set my boundaries? Because I have this ego. Still, I cannot say I don't have this ego anymore. I'm now a Buddhist monk. You shouldn't have an ego anymore. You should be completely selfless and wise and skillful and frugal in your ways. And peaceful and calm and easily satisfied. They are ideals. There's something to walk towards and to aspire towards. But it's obviously not something that you can say, now I'm this and now I'm that. So it's as an aspiration, a beautiful thing. As a measurement of failure, a horrible thing. If you just try that to measure yourself against something. So why should I even aspire to peaceful and calmness, being easily satisfied? I have to make these attributes attractive in my own mind first if I want to aspire to them. How frugal do I want to be? If I'm obviously frugality is not something you say, oh, I have to be frugal. It's the same illusion as if you say, oh, I have to be grateful. I should be full of gratitude. It's complete nonsense. Gratitude is a feeling, and a beautiful, gifted feeling. You maybe sit somewhere and the water just flows out of your eyes. You sit there and full of thanks for something. I don't know if you have experienced that. Sometimes with the right contemplation I had that in my heart. Just this, wow, I'm getting fat every day. I don't have to do anything really. I have shelter. The flies cannot bother me. I don't have to worry about anything. Wow, thank you so much. That was not you have to be grateful. That was a beautiful feeling of gratitude. And because it's so beautiful, that is something where it's easy to aspire to. Right? It's easy to see, wow, that is leading into a beautiful direction, into a calm direction, into an independent direction. Because it was not because I had so much in that moment. Right? It was simple things, the simple things that we really need when we have a body here. Shelter over our head, something to eat, medicine when we're sick, and clothes. The really essential stuff as human beings. So even reading things and making that into something, asking yourself very honestly, am I really interested in that? Huh? Am I interested in peace? What is peace? Huh? Is peace boredom? Oh, he's so peaceful, but he is, gosh, he is boring. 5 minutes and I fall asleep with that guy, actually. Yeah, incredibly peaceful. I have to be very careful because often peacefulness, if that doesn't ring the bell with you, if you don't associate the right thing with it, it's just a word. Huh? Peacefulness. Huh? Oh, you're peacenik, actually. You're just, a peacenik was a sort of an accusation in older times. Huh? So, greeny sort of somebody who's not willing to take any action, but being peaceful means for me, for example, this independence from outside influences, this beautiful moment which you might have had in your life for a few seconds where you thought, I don't need anything else right. Can you remember a moment like that? Where you just sat somewhere or were lying somewhere or maybe holding hand with your partner and you were just completely immersed in that moment and there was not a thought going out to anywhere else because you were exactly where you wanted to be. Huh? That is what peacefulness is. It is a description of something. Huh? And if the mind doesn't even associate anything positive and aspiring with these words we use, then obviously there's no way the mind can be interested in going in that direction. Huh? And you have to ask yourself very honestly, what do I wish for myself? What would be beautiful? Huh? What is really worth achieving? What do I want from my meditation? What do I want to improve in my life? And obviously, if you're not honest with yourself, you know, if you're just fulfilling somebody else's expectations or society's expectations and think that is yours, that makes it obviously very difficult, and then there's a step to do to a little bit of getting a little bit more aware. Where am I right now? Where do I want to be? And that is obviously where the meditation, even the short sessions, can help us to bring a little bit more awareness into our day-to-day life, seeing a little bit clearer. There's this constant process of thoughts that is rattling on in our mind day by day, and we become aware that this conditioning that I was talking about, is the way we feel, the way we perceive the world is very strongly conditioned by the way we think. So we either overestimate the power of our thoughts, we say we're in power and they are my thoughts, or we underestimate them and say, oh, it's basically whatever is in that mind is completely irrelevant, whatever I put into that mind is completely irrelevant, which is also, which is the other extreme, it's not true. If I give that mind a lot of negative input, a lot of political television, a lot of negative news, a lot of negative conversations, critical conversations, if I put it intentionally into positions where it's uncomfortable, just to push it, being pushy with my own mind, trying to control it in that way. These are things I have to get aware of. It's a sort of I still catch myself getting into these ruts where the mind is going in a certain direction with a person, for example, in the monastery. Is that that person seems to be the focus of my negativity. And still after so many years I'm too blind to see. It's my perception. It's nothing more than my perception. It's not everybody that has the same perception about that person. Right? And the more negativity I develop without questioning it, the stronger that perception is going to become. You can see that very clearly when a person you love very much does something wrong, it's almost like, oh, it's nothing. If a person you really dislike is doing something wrong, it's basically, I always knew it was an idiot. So you're just waiting for it, basically, for his next mistake. And so I have to ask myself, is that a direction where I want to go, that I just want to live with perfect people? Because I'm never, ever, ever going to find it anywhere. People are always going to be annoying. Because nobody is like me. Why cannot everybody be just like me? I think there was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, he had that computer program and he produced that android was exactly an exact copy of himself. And I think in the end that was the guy he ended up killing. It was the guy on the ship that annoyed him the most. So I have to be very careful what I wish for. Because that process of liking and disliking is absolutely conditioned in our minds. And it's we have to disentangle that whole thing very, very carefully and very, hopefully very kindly. Because otherwise we're going to get in real trouble. We see ourselves as an enemy. We see our thoughts as an enemy. We see our feelings as an enemy. We see our personality as an enemy. We see ourselves as a failure. So whenever I say anything about a conditioned mind, please always take it as a relief. It's not a fault. We're not looking for a fault. We're trying to get the mind to go into a direction where it feels better, where it feels more wholesome, where it feels more secure. And when you can always check your feelings, if you're not sure if that is a wholesome thing or not. If your body tenses up, if you feel more uncomfortable, if you have doubts afterwards about that action, they are usually good indicators. There's something not quite right. Not quite right in that direction. This increasing this awareness a little bit. Where is the mind going? What is the mind thinking? I hope your meditation can do that for you. Giving this tiny little bit of distance to step back once a day, twice a day, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day. As often as the mind remembers, this little step back, where am I right now? Where am I? What attitude is right now in my mind? Is it tired? Is it bored? Is it angry? Without saying, oh, I am angry, I am tired, I am this, I am that. Where are you, mind? And look with that kindness and see where it is. Are you angry, mind? Okay. What are you angry about? Have a good look. See if you can figure it out. See if you can figure out what caused that anger. And you can see there is a mistake happening. If the finger comes up and you start pointing, it's because of him, it's because of her, it's because of this, it's because of that. Or it's because I'm not good enough. It's because I'm just too stupid. When that comes up, you realize, wow, that is conditioning. That is conditioning, basically, that I believe in that system of punishment for improvement. I believe that if I punish myself or others enough, they're going to go in the right direction. That's not the Buddhist way. Buddhist way is, first of all, we know the mind automatically goes in the direction where it feels more comfortable. That doesn't mean it is a good direction, but it automatically wishes happiness for itself and tries to avoid suffering. Never forget that. You can never want more suffering and less happiness. Or you must be completely delusional. If you don't believe me, and please do not believe me, just watch that. Can you ever want anything but be happy and try to avoid suffering? Sometimes we take suffering because out of duty, and we know if we neglect our duty, we might get more suffering in the future. A lot of people don't like their job or whatnot. So they go to the job and say, oh, it's suffering, my job is suffering, but I need the money and blah, blah, blah. So there's always, we still want the happiness. We just have to accept the suffering on that process of the happy paycheck at the end of the month or week or whatever, fortnight. So if you watch that, the mind wants happiness and tries to avoid suffering. Very important. Can never avoid that. Can never get around there. So then, under that aspect, always watch, when does the mind get more happy and when does the mind get more distressed? And sometimes on the short run, it can feel like when you get angry in a moment with somebody, oh, that really made me happy, made me feel powerful in that moment. But in the long run, anger is always going to pull people away from you. Nobody likes an angry person. And that is just outside consequences. If you meditate for a while, anger is a horrible feeling. It doesn't feel nice at all, because I just know better feelings. And some people who get empowered by anger, they just don't know anything better. You tense up when you're angry, your blood pressure rises, you get shortness of breath. Exactly the opposite of a calm meditation, where you completely relax, where your breath goes very deep and natural. And as you don't have to control anything, with anger, you get that power feeling of being in control. But as a meditator, you know how much suffering that is to be in control, having to be in control. So hopefully as a meditator you have a few of these moments where you because they are all indicators of a way in your practice and of the other factors of that Eightfold Path I was talking about in the beginning. So please don't, if you take anything away from today, is take away the responsibility of stuff. See, it's a conditioned thing. You're never that what you are today because you choose. You are because of the circumstances you were born in and you lived in. And now just be clever enough to make the very best out of what you have. Be honest with yourself, see where you are, and see where you want to be. If peacefulness is not attractive to you, then obviously don't go there. Try to be an unpeaceful person. But it's for me it's stressful. The idea is stressful. This basically means more control and wobbling around and having to be entertaining and having to be entertained. For me that makes me more dependent, this sort of thinking. And being the more dependent I am, the more I realize for myself, the more suffering I have. The most free and secure I always feel when I don't need much. And the freest I feel when I have the feeling I don't need anything right now. So, what time it is? Is it time for some questions?
Can we ask the new people if they have any questions? We've got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Perfect timing. If you're not too shy, the new people, if they have some questions, you don't have to ask a question. You might be completely overwhelmed and or bored or something. Okay, not so much.
Any questions?
Anybody?
Okay, can you distinguish between being peaceful and being passive?
Well, it depends again what you associate with passive.
Don't react, don't get excited about what they say, what they do.
Do you associate that with peacefulness?
Peace of mind. It does. Being passive, not reaction.
Me too. If I'm peaceful, I don't give a damn. It's obviously passive.
It's passive, yes. It's a passive feeling.
Yeah.
I don't have to contribute, I don't have to participate, I don't have to be in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there should be the... obviously, the, it's not good when you're driving a bike.
No.
I have to be with what... But in your meditation,
yes.
Beautiful. In a confrontation, sometimes also helpful and beautiful. Sometimes. Sometimes maybe not. Sometimes you want to say, or it's better maybe even to say something. You know, that is, it's not as an abstract ideal, I have to be passive. It's the same abstract ideal, I have to be peaceful. Peacefulness is a beautiful state of mind if you have experienced that in your meditation or in your daily life in a situation where you just felt incredibly good about something. That can be peaceful. You can just feel very exactly right to be there. And then usually it's passive because the mind is not looking into the future to grasp anything and it's not looking into the past to hold on to something, because you're there where you want to be if you're peaceful. Otherwise you're not peaceful. Otherwise the mind is obviously somewhere where it still doesn't want to be, and then it's the word peacefulness doesn't apply, because the word peacefulness is just a description of a state of mind, nothing more. And first of all there has to be a taste of that to make that even attractive. Even a proper concept of that peacefulness is not boring. And that is what some people don't get, because our language is so incorrect. People come to a place and say, "Oh, mate, how are you? And they're not interested in how I am. If you tell, well, actually, not so good. Actually, well, please don't answer the question or whatnot. That was just saying hello. But that is how incorrect speech is. Nobody's interested in how I am. It's basically trying to be polite. But it's basically it's also an incorrectness of language. Yeah? Language is just a medium where we try to communicate thoughts and feelings with one another. If our concepts of a word is completely out of sync, obviously, then we cannot communicate even with each other. Huh? I had to learn English even to communicate with you. We can continue in German and you probably don't get much.
We have to learn German.
So basically, peacefulness is a concept. If nobody can even associate the right feeling with that word, then obviously it is devoid of any meaning. And then it's also, oh yeah, you have to be peaceful, you have to be passive to be peaceful, you have to be peaceful to be passive. No, if you're peaceful, then obviously you're completely passive because you don't want to control anything in the moment. No? So they go together as one. But you can also be active and peaceful. In a not obviously as in a deep meditation, but you can in an argument, you can be still keep your peace of mind, keep a positive, healthy mind, a peaceful mind, but contribute to a discussion or whatnot, or make your point or whatever you want to do.
Sometimes don't make the point. That's where the wisdom.
Sometimes not. And sometimes I wish in the monastery, for example, people would open their mouths instead of complaining afterwards. You know? Because then, oh yeah, I'm so peaceful and I'm a monk, I don't really care what's going on. But then the next day, basically, you hear all the complaints again. And we just had that discussion in the Sangha meeting and nobody was actually raising his hands. They're sulking, they're basically complaining. They're people, they're not just flying around actually for lotus there actually. That's not what's going on.